1 and 2 together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, Timothy, our brother, to the saints, right, to the saints, faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Paul is going to talk about is about Jesus Christ. Now, it appears that Colossians was written to the church there because it seems like maybe they were starting to get off track. And we don't know exactly, but we can kind of, you know, put it together. It seems like either they were starting to worship angels or they're trying to worship God through angels and kind of leaving Jesus out of the equation, if you will. And so Paul is going through in a systematic way. He's saying, if you're trying to do that, if you're trying to leave out Jesus, apparently you don't know who he is. Apparently you got the wrong motivation. You must not know Jesus. Who's Jesus, Paul? He is Christ. He is King. He's the supreme one. He has preeminence over all things, whether in heaven or on earth, all of creation. He's saying, let me tell you who Jesus is. You must have forgotten. You don't know. You might have never learned. Ultimately, as we finish this lesson here in just a little bit, that's the question that I'm asking of each and every one of us here. As we think about that, you know, can you go through your week, this week coming up, and have Christ interwoven into that? So whatever you think, whatever you do, however you speak, however you act, everything in your week coming up this week, can you have Christ interwoven in all of that? Live in such a manner that you're showing that you submit to Christ, the King of the Kingdom. Now, have you ever heard preachers say, I know I've heard it several times, you know, some people are going to miss heaven by 12 inches. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have heard that. You know, basically the distance from here to here, the mind to the heart. And what's usually meant by that, or the way that I take it, is that you can have a Christian that can know a lot of things intellectually. Right? They can quote scripture. They show up to church. I think they can write a proper check for contribution on Sunday. You know, they can know all of those things. But yet, in here, the motivation's off. Kind of like the brethren in Ephesus that we read about in Revelation chapter 2. They left their first love. Right now, I'm not saying all those things aren't important. You know, I think if your motivation is wrong and you're here, I'm happy that you're here. Because hopefully something's said or done that can penetrate your heart and fix the motivation. But sometimes we're off of that motivation. We can know all the right things, but we're not doing it because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's not the motivation behind what we're doing. And so therefore you get that illustration, if you will, missing heaven by 12 inches. Sadly, some are going to miss heaven by that 12 inches. Now here's what I want to do in the time that we have remaining. Colossians, the third chapter. I want you to read this with me. We're going to back up a little bit. Then we're going to mention something in the middle, back up, and then finish. All right? So don't let me lose you here. We're just going to hit some of the highlights so we understand what Paul's teaching. It's not an in-depth study in the book of Colossians. And so read this with me here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What's the problem? Well, apparently they might be forgetting who Jesus is. Now, here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to relegate this passage here as just being one of the main verses we go to show that we ought not use instrumental music in worship. Now, in principle, does it teach that? Well, yeah, sure it does. But don't relegate it to just that. It has a much deeper meaning than that. And if you can see that, it's going to change everything. All right, so I want you to notice this here. Now, read with me. Chapter 3 and verse 4. Chapter 3 and verse 4 here in Colossians. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I know contextually he's teaching about the coming of Christ, but the statement stands true. Right? Could you join Paul in saying, Christ, he is my life? That might be the most beautiful statement in the entire Bible. The most powerful statement anyone this side of eternity can make. That's how you, in verse 2, set your mind on things above. In verse 3, that statement, for you died and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. All right, Paul, I get it, but what will that look like in my life? How would that manifest itself in my life, that Christ, he is my life, that I'm setting my mind on things above, I died and now my life is hidden in Christ in God? What's that going to look like, Paul? Well, he says, you need to learn how you got to put off some things and put on some things. There's some things here you need to work on removing, that part of the old you. Right? So now, therefore, since Christ is coming back, you need to work on putting on some things. So read it with me, chapter 3 here, beginning in verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge. There's things we got to learn, right? According to the image, that's a word for icon. According to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Very powerful statement when we think about this. You know, there's things that I need to work on removing. All right, Paul, I'm working on removing those. But what do I replace that old man with? He says, I'm glad you asked. Now pay attention, keep reading. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, he's talking to Christians, he says, holy and beloved. So he's talking to you. If you've put on Christ in baptism, you're here this morning, he is talking to you. It's a continuous journey. I'm putting off things, I'm putting on things. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called. Remember that we're talking about the church, means the called out. We were called to do some things in one body and be thankful. See, that all starts to flow together here. And then verse 16, again, yes, the mechanics of how we are to sing is there, but it's a lot deeper than that. And you know, it's getting to the point, you know, he's talking about worship. And understand what worship is if you know, maybe you just don't know. Worship is getting the praise and the adoration from our hearts to God in the manner that he prescribes. That's what worship is. And so now here what Paul is talking about is, I've lived my life in such a manner throughout this past week, understanding who I am in Christ, what Christ has afforded me. I'm working on getting those proper motivations. It's all about the King. And then when I come together, and part of that worship is to sing, that praise and that adoration on my heart, it's just overflowing. It's going to God. You can't stop it. And let me tell you, you don't want to put anything man-made in between that praise to God, like mechanical instrument music. Can you see the depth there that he's talking about? Now, real quick, go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1 here. And after Paul's greeting, remember the authoritative source of the words here. And so he reminds us, verses 9 through 12, to walk in a particular way worthy of the Lord. you know, being fruitful, getting busy working for the Lord. Now, we're going to end up back in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Right? I'm going to praise God in a very particular way. Everything that I do, word or deed, it's going to be for the glory of God through Christ. But how do we get there? Colossians is a book of control. Who am I going to allow to control my life? Christ, the King of the Kings? Am I going to allow him to be my motivation? So don't let me lose you here. We're going to hit some of these highlights on the way there. Real quick here, we're going to wind up finishing up in just a few moments. So stay with me here. Don't let me lose you. This is about growing in the knowledge of God, verse 10. Doing so will strengthen me, verse 11. If you have your Bibles open, you can follow right along. Verse 12, giving thanks, talking about our prayer life. You know, thankful that he's qualified us to be partakers of his inheritance in the light, right? And then remembering and understanding what the King has done for us. What has he done for you? Well, he delivered me from the power of darkness. Remember we talked about that last week? Satan's grip on me, and he's delivered me into the kingdom of the Son of his love, verse 13. He's redeemed me by his blood, verse 14. And he did this even though he was the image of the invisible God, the supreme creator, the one that has preeminence over all things. Verses 15 through 18. Verses 19 through 23, it's him who died on the cross for your sins, dying in your law place, reconciled you to God through his blood sacrifice. Now, verses 24 through 29 here, those truths are so powerful. Paul says that's what we need to teach and preach. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That word I keep talking about, the word perfect in the Greek teleos word, means maturing, growing in God's design direction. Then Paul says, going to chapter 2, let's talk about full assurance of understanding. Because if you truly know these things, remember that list you just saw on the screen? Right? You want to talk about motivation, right? There it is. He says in verse 4, don't let anyone delude your faith. Don't let anyone cheat you out of your faith so that you end up back in the darkness of the world. Verse 8, New King James has the word cheat. It's more the idea in the original language of captive or even the idea of being kidnapped. That's what that word means. Don't let anyone kidnap you back into darkness. Remember, you were called out of that. We're talking about the church, called out. Don't let anyone take you captive, cheat you, kidnap you to go back into darkness. Well, what do they use as their tools to kidnap you? And you're reading here, philosophy, empty deceit, traditions of men, principles of the world. I bet you'll see a lot of that. You get on here to Nashville to that Sunday assembly. It'll look fun. It'll look exciting. And you can do all the things that churches do that we like. Singing, fellowship, eating together, helping others, feeling good about ourselves, hearing a stirring sermon. But what's the purpose for that assembly? It's not to praise the King of Kings. It's different. Don't let anyone take you captive. And you get that reminder there in verse 9, Christ is God. And if you're in Christ, you are complete, verse 10. Then Paul explains how we get into Christ, right? He's reminding Christians here of how they got into Christ. Look at verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. He's reminding Christians how they became Christians. And as a side note, you see here that baptism is not a work. Well, there's working going on, but it's God working. Let's remember how we got into Christ. We're going to talk a little bit more about that this evening. I really hope you're here for that lesson tonight, going through James and that sermon series. So he reminds them how they got into Christ, how they were conveyed into the kingdom of Christ. You keep going through chapter 2 here. Now that they've done that, they were delivered into the kingdom. He says again, you know, don't let anyone cheat you out of that. Verse 20, remember you died to self, you died in Christ. Then he gets into the part we read a moment ago. There's things you need to work on putting off and putting on. And then he gets to very specifically here. It says, all right, so you put off some things and you put on some things. He's saying, stay away from the principles of the world. Don't touch them. Don't taste them. Don't even handle them, verse 21. Those principles of the world. Why? It'll call you back into darkness. He tells you what they are, so avoid them. Now, we get back here to chapter 3. Back to worship and praise, right? And we're going to finish up here, finish the lesson. I want you to think about this. What he's talking about here is, and I need to understand this. Understanding all of these wonderful things, who Christ is, what he affords me in the kingdom, all those blessings that, you know what, my cup runneth over. We're going to look at Psalm 23 pretty soon on a Sunday morning sermon. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Even though I was such a sinful individual that I didn't deserve salvation, the preeminent one left the glory of heaven to live on this earth, to live so he could be that perfect, sinless sacrifice for me. He died for me. He rose again the third day. He ascended to the right hand of the glory of the Father. Now he says, Sean, I'm going to allow you to come into my kingdom. I paid the price. I love you. We need to work on you a little bit, Sean. A lot, actually. As you keep Christ as your focus, you allow him to reign as King of the kingdom, rule as the preeminent authority, supreme one in your life, on the throne of your heart. As you do that, he says, we're going to work on getting rid of some things. We're going to replace that with some other things, some good things, some godly things. We're going to mature you. And when you understand that and you live that in your life and you appreciate that, you're coming to the gathering of the church, the called out of Christ, who are doing the same thing. And boy, you got a group of people there that have praised God throughout the week. Struggles, yes. Problems, yes. Failures, yes. But we understand who we are. And so now, I'm going to sing after I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. I'm going to sing with grace in my heart to the Lord. Do you see the difference, the motivation? I've lived my life with the knowledge that Christ is the King of Kings, that he's the ruler of my life. So when I sing to my Lord in the manner that he prescribes and in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in my heart. I'm going to do this because I can't help it. You can't stop me. It's coming out. My cup runneth over. I'm so filled with the blessings of Christ Jesus, my King, that praise, that adoration, it's going to come out to God. And I don't need anything to get in the way. It's so powerful. My heart flows back to my King. It flows to the one who's sitting on the throne of my heart, the one that's sitting on his throne high and lifted up. So everything that I say, everything that I do, I'm going to do it all in the name of my Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Giving thanks to the Lord. That's our why. That's our motivation. This morning, if you're here and you know not Christ, and maybe you're struggling thinking, you know, I'll just never be good enough. You know, I've made too many mistakes. I'll never be good enough. Understand, that's the point. That's the whole point. You'll never be good enough. But when you get that and you understand that and you attach yourself to that salvation, it's a wonderful thing. This morning, have you been buried with Christ in baptism? If you haven't, you're going to have that opportunity in a moment. We're going to sing a song of invitation. It's that time to get you to think, you know, what do I need to do? Do I need to fix something? Do I need to work on some things? What is it that Christ is calling you to do? You know, maybe you've done that and along the way you lost your way, you lost your motivation. And now the Word of God has reached down and it's pricked your heart. You think, I need to do something. And if that's the case, would you let us show you the love of Christ as a family of God? If you have a spiritual need this morning, please don't hesitate. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.